But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, it's Scott Brennan, Verbal Shenanigans Podcast, joined by Michael Berlew yet again.
Hey, people. Hello, Scotty.
Yes, it's Thursday night, and it's a little cold, but it was a little warm today, and it felt good. And
it's warming up. It's getting there.
Ready to do a little podcast here. I'm joined by, known him for a little while, but I was able to, pop my cherry with him. We went out on the road in the middle of Pennsylvania. Mr. KP Burke, fellow comedian. Welcome to the show there, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys having me.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, we just let anybody on here, you know.
I anticipated that.
But yeah, KP, very funny comedian. I went out to the middle of Pennsylvania with Joe Fernandez and him. And he got the joy of watching me bomb in front of a bunch of, how would you describe them? Very
yokels?
Subtle audience, I guess you can say.
Vietnam
tight.
Veterans.
Yeah,
I would describe them as.
Tight. Yeah, I had a rough first 5 minutes, and it picked it up a little bit. You did okay, and Joe did well. but it was a good trip. It was an interesting place. We went in the middle of, I don't remember the name of the town, but it was like a train station, and there was trains on either side of this humongous like dining room kind of thing with Christmas lights all over the place.
I think it was West Ampton or North Ampton or
Northumberland. Northumberland, yes, Northumberland.
Where the
for all our
really
fans,
comes.
For all our fans out there, Northumberland.
Shout out to my NUs out there.
But it was a fun experience, anyway. It was a good little trip.
Yeah, it was weird. I think everyone crushed harder in the car ride over there than the gig itself.
Listen, if you can all get in my backseat, man, you guys will be dying.
It was good. They were just very, very, very tight. I don't know. I hadn't hosted in a long time, so I went up a little cold, tried to jump into material too quick like an idiot. And that's what happens. You know?
I have the same story about the same situation, except all three of us murdered blatantly.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, they wrote us up in the paper, and I believe Joe Fernandez was given the key to the city.
Ooh. The Northumberland key.
Yeah. It's all like, 12 houses?
It's like a bottle opener. But anyway, welcome to the podcast. Quick news for the show. April 19th, big date, second Verbal Shenanigans comedy show, Mr. KP Burke, in Dover, New Jersey, at Table 42. We announced it, I guess, last week. I don't even know the order of these. We have a couple in the bank here.
It was 2 weeks ago because last week was Scott. Not Scott.
Yes. Believe it or not, the week before that was Scott, too.
Oh.
And then the past 39 episodes before that were Scott.
Episode one, we're not really sure. You never put it up.
Episode one's a secret. but good show. I'm headlining Joe Fernandez. I know that guy.
Not shabby.
Featuring is going to be Mr. Andy Hayward.
Mm-hmm.
And guesting is going to be Bobby Gaines, then hosted by me. So once you get through the hosting spot, it should be a good show.
Did you intentionally put, you know, like all three alcoholics on the show that are all in recovery so that you wouldn't have to worry about
at a bar
tab?
Yeah, that's half where the comedy comes from.
Right. And I figure, you know, if I'm the only guy drinking, like,
yeah,
you know.
He doesn't want to look stupid, so.
Right, and maybe
do you book Joe so you can get a ride home, like guaranteed?
Exactly.
He's funny. I love him. Don't get me wrong, but if you can get the free ride home, that's
right.
Deal.
There's three guys there, so I could get really wasted, and one of them will take me home. It's like the recovery tour. But no, it should be a great show. It is $35 for dinner and the show. Last one went out with pretty much almost a hitch, other than some problems with dinner service because it was sold out and they all came at once. So we revamped that so you could seat anywhere from 5 through 7 o'clock, and then the show's at 7. So it should be good. Should be good. Anyway, KP, so what's going on, man? What do you got going on here?
I just came back from a really shitty open mic.
Which one?
Public Speaking 115 at Brookdale. Wow. It's a horrible mic. No feedback. No feedback. Everyone runs the light. and they pretty much just they just want to talk about what they talk about. Nobody's getting any laughs. Crowd's tight. They all work on their own stuff.
Yeah, they're miserable jerks. Yeah.
That is so different from every other mic.
Now, when you take public speaking, is it hard to like try to not be funny, or you try to be funny during it, like, or the professor wants nothing to do with it?
Well, I always thought it was weird. I don't know how you guys handle it, but with people finding out whether or not you do comedy, like for me, I hide it as much as possible.
Yeah.
And I treat it like, if I have to admit it to someone, I treat it like I would say like how I play guitar too. Where it's like, hey guys, yeah, you know, I play guitar a little. Mm-hmm. I tell dick jokes, you know, yep. I don't do that. But so I hit it until the final week, and then she did a toast assignment. So our final assignment in speech class was a toast, and we weren't allowed to make it funny. That was literally
what kind
written.
Of toast is that?
Yeah,
what?
You're not allowed to be funny.
That's half the fun.
And I just, you know, what are you supposed to do? What toast is it? It's just the bridesmaid toast of like, we're just so happy.
We grew up together. We're getting so big.
Exactly. Yeah. So
much. I deserve it. We were together, and now I'm giving you a
well, the worst is I'm in the class.
You dreamed of that Prince Charming since day one, and today I can finally see you leaving with him.
Well, you're also in class with it's community college. You know, I started late with college. I'm 27, mm-hmm. So you're in there with a bunch of 19-year-old girls who like life hasn't destroyed them yet.
No, I mean no. So,
well, you'd think it would be cool. You'd think it would be cool until you realize that you're the weird old guy who saw Lion King in theaters, and it just changes everybody's perspective on you.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, like. I guess we could start here, like your kind of journey into comedy here. Like you have some Florida experience, you have specifically some great Jacksonville experience, which I know is part of your act. So when did you start comedy?
We're actually coming up on 3 years now. I thought about it earlier today, a little after St. Patrick's Day was my first ever show. I did when I came back from Dubai, I had a bunch of money saved up from deployment. And we went ahead and I did the Comedy Zone workshop. It was a gift that somebody got for me. The Comedy Zone's like the big club in Jacksonville. For 8 weeks, they'll teach you how to do comedy.
Ooh.
Right? Interesting thing, it's taught by a guy who has never done comedy.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
he's
great.
He's just a hotel manager. Nice guy. I like him. But,
was he funny at all?
it was funny in that he's very funny. Like he pulled a very elaborate prank on all of us to pay him $200. So that we can bring all of our friends to eat and drink at his restaurant while we tell jokes.
So a massive bringer, basically.
It was like a it was a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
But that's where I got started, was down there. And then the open mic scene was it's developed into something really cool right now. They got a lot of good stuff going on down there. They just had JT Haberstadt from the Punk Altercation Tour came through. Alan Strickland Williams, who's been on Conan, he comes through the open mics now.
KP Burke.
They try to sell me as something. That's all the Florida guys are like, oh, you must be hitting all the New York clubs all the time. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, by Starlight Pizza in West Orange, New Jersey. Yes, sir. But yeah, it's a different scene, man. It's
So you did comedy post service then?
I was still active duty when I started it. And then when I started comedy, I was an E5 in the Navy, which is like the equivalent of a staff sergeant. And then I had a house, 4-bedroom house at the beach, Jacksonville Beach. I had a pretty fiance. I had a nice brand new truck. And since I started comedy, I have lost all of those things in succession.
Well, you didn't need those for the dream, my friend. You didn't need those for the dream.
It's just the damn truth, man. Every freaking comic is just it just turns to a life of loneliness and seeking. You know, you meet like a good people, but it feels like it's just like. Everyone has so many problems, man. Like everyone has problems.
Saying my life is absolutely perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just adding this little comedy.
Yeah,
thing
you're not like after you know after I play this round of golf, I'm not gonna go hit a mic tonight. You know, it doesn't seem like it's that. Not too often. I don't know any. Like, all the comics I know are not, like, these privileged people or anything like that. I don't know if you know any, but most of them seem to be, like, blue-collar, like, you know, need a way out, going through a divorce, had a divorce, have a disease, have an addiction, had an addiction, stuff like that, you know?
I can't smoke crack anymore. What's going to fill the void?
Nobody's ever said, ooh, my IBM stocks went up 3 points. I'm going to celebrate with a mic tonight.
Let's make a joke about this. So you got into comedy down there. Did any momentum start down there? Or was it just pretty much open mic scene? Or was it... Because I was talking to you in the car. I know you were saying there was definitely some cool stuff down there. You seemed to know some people down there.
Yeah, I stepped in. I quote my father. I stepped in shit quite a few times down there, which is both a good and a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like 6 months into doing comedy, like just at open mics and stuff, I won a open mic contest that had been running for like 8 weeks, and the prize was you got to feature for Jackie Knight's Comedy Club. So I went from 6 months of comedy with like maybe 4 jokes that worked. And then they're like, okay, cool. Can you fill a half hour? By the way, if you don't fill it, we're not paying you and you're never coming back to this club again.
So your pay was based on if you could fill that half hour.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's common with a lot of places. They won't pay you if you don't fill the time as a headliner or a feature act.
Right.
So, yeah, which is understandable. They want a 90-minute show. If I'm like, all right, guys, I what else did I want to work on tonight? They don't want to hear that at the Gregory's Comedy Club in Cocoa Beach.
So I heard all these teachers were molesting students. Where was I? What happened to me? Hey, wouldn't it be crazy if the GPS had a different voice? Sorry.
What's the deal with airline food, people?
I was going with what I've heard at every open mic for the last year.
Well, why don't we make the plane out of that black box?
Dude, that's deep. That's deep.
So you got to go into this Jacksonville's Jacksonville comedy champion.
I think he's got a kingdom right now.
You got to tell that story here.
Well, it's it got out of control. That one didn't start until I came up here.
And how'd you end up here?
My fiance left me, and no,
that was a good one.
That's right. That's right.
You should put that in your bit.
I'm glad it's not a video podcast. Otherwise, you'd see the beer bottle I'm using to cut my wrists right now. That one got started when I came up here because everybody had credits when I came up here, and I had a friend, and he's a great guy. He had family in Daytona Beach. So he would come down and do the club in St. Augustine that I would host at. And I was the only guy who was nice to him because he was, you know, like a New York guy. Nobody knew him. And they're very clicky down there. So I was nice to the guy. And he goes, anytime you're up in New York, let me know. I'll get you on a show. And I was like, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up here after moving up. And, you know, I just wanted to see what the shows were all about. And Judah Friedlander was on at the stand. And I wanted to see him live. And this guy had him on a show. And I said, hey, can I just get a ticket? And he goes, yeah, I'll get you a ticket, and I'll put you on the next one.
Wow.
So I thought that was amazing. So my first time doing comedy in New York City.
You did step in shit several times, yeah. Then, kind of.
Yeah. Wow. So
it's just like a weird, like, you know, oh, okay, yeah, just hop on, you know?
Well, he thinks in his mind, this guy, Randy Humphreys, his name, he's a great friend of mine. He honestly, at that time, thought, he's like, oh, this guy KP hooks me up with rooms in Florida. Let me hook him up with rooms in New York. I'm offering him shitty biker bars where we pay you in nachos. And he's like, do you want to be on the stand with Godfrey later tonight? I was like, sure.
Yeah, sure.
So he puts me on the show, and they asked me before, and they're like, hey, do you have any credits for the show? And everybody's got credits, and I had to follow Amy Schumer. This is over at Eastville. And she did a drop-in, and everybody, the whole place is going crazy. And I had to go up next, and the guy who was the MC goes, do you have any credits or anything like that? And I said, not really. And he goes, you want me to make up something? And I said, because like he was ready to reach for like the VH1 BET, you know.
You've seen him on VH1.
We which no one can prove because nobody watches enough VH1 to prove you otherwise.
You've seen him on the Oxygen Network.
He was on Destination America.
This podcast is on VH1, you guys.
It is.
It's amazing.
If you watch
4 years running.
What was that? A pop-up video. Yeah, we're on that. Is that show still on?
No,
I think that was the only like semi decent show VH1. Remember when they just take a video and like pop up
the Best Week Ever with a bunch of comedians? That was pretty good.
Yeah,
I was a fan of Best Week Ever for sure. Best Week
Ever. I love the Michael Thompson. Who else? Who's the guy in Hot Tub Time Machine?
Was Web Junk on VH1?
Web Junk 20.
Web Junk. Yeah,
Patrice. It was like a year and a half, and that was it. But anyway, sorry. Keep going.
Oh, no, it was it was hilarious. It was so the guy throws me the show over here. I'm freaking out before I go because you want me to make up something. I said the only credit I had at the time was the Jacksonville Comedy Awards Rookie of the Year 2012, which is a fake award show we held in a movie theater in Jacksonville, and it was online voting and stuff, and it was like maybe 12 comics all together. And it was all my buddies were competing for Comedian of the Year against each other. And I was Rookie of the Year because I hadn't been doing comedy more than a year at that point. So like, okay, you're the Rookie of the Year for the best comic who started doing comedy that year. But I was pretty much the only one who did start that year. So they gave me the award.
Someone's got to win it.
Yeah. So they gave me, I swear to God, I have it at the house too. It's this little statue with a glass star on it and says Jack's Comedy Awards Rookie of the Year 2012, KP Burke. I actually use that as a paperweight to hold down the complaint.
The bills.
Yeah, well, I wish, man. The complaint forms that were filled out on the comment cards at the Jacksonville Comedy Zone against me. God. This is the best. Did you guys ever get shitty comment cards?
Yes.
What's the worst one you guys ever got?
Well, I've never gotten anything vicious. I know when we did the...
nothing vicious.
Yeah. Scott Shaw, I know a couple of times they said, last two comedians were great. First two, I don't know, pal.
Yeah.
And then we were debating if Scott
it was two people that were a couple because they had the same last name, and they said, last two great, first two sucked.
Wait, where was this?
In Dover. But I was the host, so I don't think that was me.
We had that debate because it was him, then Doug Max, and I was the... second special guest, so I could be in the middle. They're just like, we're not sure about this guy. We'll have to come back a few more times.
Burlo, just let it go. It was you.
But it was my career ruined. Those 250-year-old women crushed me.
Yeah, not too much. I don't really. I guess I haven't really done that many shows where there are common cards. Yeah. So that shows you where I'm at. But So you got terrible ratings and won.
The worst one I ever got from the Comedy Zone in Jacksonville, it had the list of all the comics that were on that night, and it said poor, fair, good, and excellent.
Right?
So, and he had like a grading system. We had to keep our scores up. You know, because when you're not a comic, you try to apply like outside business knowledge.
Absolutely.
So it makes
like
sense.
Like a teacher's rubric.
Yeah, it makes sense in theory, but... not in practice, because you're going to tell people you want them to try new stuff, but everyone's afraid they're going to tank their scores. So anyway, I had the one, it just had all the comics this person ranked as excellent until they got down to me. I was second to last. And it just said, I had poor with a big X on there. And then in the comments, as if that wasn't already descriptive enough of how they felt about it, the comment section, it read, excellent show, minus KP Burke.
Awesome.
All right.
They specifically put your name
in
there.
Then the details is where they killed me. Then they put in parentheses, nasty and not funny.
Nasty and not funny.
Nasty and
not
funny.
Can I steal that nickname? That might fit me well.
Now, when you got that tattoo, did you do it in two lines across your back or just all the way across in small font?
Well, it was I think they thought that it was going to be something that like upset me. But I think the person that filled that out is a friend of one of the comics that was there that night, who I like to mess with because he was he used to do a lot of book jokes on stage.
Right.
He I swear to God, you guys, this is how he used to make me introduce him when if I was hosting. Give it up for this next guy. He's just, guys, give it up for the man. That's how he wanted me to introduce him, so that he could set up this joke where you'd come in and go, oh, thank you for that praise, you guys. That's really nice. You go, I'm not the man. My sister was, but she got the surgery.
Doug Max was in Florida? Doug, why didn't you tell us? My God.
All right. So you win the award. You win the award.
How'd you beat that guy?
That's okay. Great. And then what? There's like a funny succession to the story.
Well, right? I'm sorry. I just got started riffing on Jacksonville stuff. I don't mind.
Well, that's on my list. I have a little list of maybe possible talking topics. And one of them was Florida.
What's the deal with the Jaguars, people?
Oh, man. That's the worst part is that the Jaguars beating the Giants this year. Because imagine having like a crystal meth addict with no teeth telling you you suck. And just not having a comeback, really.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's called my marriage. No.
But to get back to your point here, I apologize, buddy. That was the Jack's Comedy Awards. It was this funny, isolated incident. You know, no big deal. It was just going to be a funny thing among friends. And then this guy, I said, Jacksonville Comedy Awards Rookie of the Year. And he goes up and he goes, all right, this next guy just won the Jacksonville Comedy Festival. Give it up, you guys.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks I'm a festival
KP,
winner.
Woo!
Yeah, these people think I'm a festival. The poor, you know, Pittsburgh tourists at Eastville that night are like, all right, we didn't see Chris Rock, but we did see.
We did see.
The Jacksonville Comedy Festival winner. So that was a Friday night. So Saturday night, I'm down the shore doing comedy on Cookman. And they had asked me earlier in the week, do you have any credits for the paper, we're going to put an ad in the paper. And the Asbury Park Press runs an article that reads, Comedy on Cookman Returns featuring Jacksonville Comedy Festival winner K.P. Burke. So now the festival that's never happened is verified by a regionally distributed newspaper.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And some guy with a master's in journalism just invented this thing. So
Brian Williams invented the Jacksonville Comedy Festival.
Exactly, exactly.
I was there. After I crashed from the helicopter, I went to a comedy festival.
After me and Harrison Ford hit the ground, I got out of the plane.
We were down. We're like, we need some kind of comedy to cheer us up. Ooh, K.P. Burke.
We just got done pulling the plug on Terry Schiavo. Can we get some laughs? That's the Saturday show, and my aunt clips this out of the paper, and she keeps it on her refrigerator wall like she's proud of me. And that's my Saturday show. The Sunday show, all of this in the same weekend. I go over to a comedy club that all three of us know, and I go there for the Sunday show, and the host goes, do you have any credits for your intro? I said, no. Jacksonville Comedy Awards, Rookie of the Year 2012. And he goes, guys, he just won the 12th annual Jacksonville Comedy Festival. Give it up. So I'm calling my friends right now. I was like, I'm not trying to lie, you guys, but this thing's taking on a life of its own.
Awesome.
And I'm done fighting it. I told them I won that festival.
You did, hands down. I'm
going to win it every year.
Have you ever tried Googling it?
Oddly enough, my buddies down there are starting to they're trying to put together something called the Bold City Comedy Festival, mm-hmm. because Jacksonville Comedy Festival is already taken. But if they get that running off the hook, I'll tell them I'll come down and headline it for them if they want.
Naturally, you would be the first. You know,
yeah.
He hasn't been around in a long time, guys.
It was kind of like when Eddie Murphy went back to Saturday Night Live and KP goes down there. It's like, oh shit, man! Now they got real.
Guys, he hasn't been around. You know, he's come back home. He's not taking any pay for this. He's amazing. He's doing it out of his heart. The comedy festival winner, K.P. Burke. Let's see what happens to Google. K.P. Burke.
Put safe search on. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of giant dick pics.
Well, that's what I'm not going to put safe search on. Jacksonville Comedy Club.
Jacksonville Comedy Club, because actually they've blown up since I left. They have the Comedy Club of Jacks on Beach Boulevard.
Here's your Comedy on Cookman article.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Let's take a look at that real quick. K.P. Burke, originally from New Jersey.
Are you using a sexy voice to read this?
I am. I am. This is how I would read it, because it's funny, because there's... Wow, you have quotes in here. Hold on. K.P. Burke, originally from New Jersey, but from the sound of him, you might not know it. I was stationed in Jacksonville Florida with the Navy for 6 years, explained the comic. I lost some of my accent down there, so now I'm too Southern for Jersey. But still too Jersey to be a Southerner. I don't fit in anywhere. I have a weatherman's accent now. Burke brings his unique voice to the Asbury Park for his newest installment of Comedy on Cookman at the Showroom Cinema. Kaz, anything funny happened to you today? Burke, not until the Valium kicked in. Kaz, what is the absolute weirdest gig you ever did? I performed at a show in Savannah, Georgia, where the comedy show was followed by a drag queen beauty pageant. Ooh.
The Bay Street Theater.
Yeah, we just did a couple podcasts ago. We did on Super Bowl Sunday. We opened up for a male review. It was Hunkamania.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
We shared a green room together while the ladies, in quotes, were getting ready. What's the absolute coolest gig you have? So they interviewed for you for this too?
That was the second time I went through there. Ed Kaz, who's a great guy, yep, the Asbury Park Press, he interviewed me. The fallout from that interview was interesting. Actually, I took a screenshot of it when it happened. It was right when all the Ferguson stuff was popping off really bad. And Kaz wrote on his Facebook, he wrote, on days like today, it's great to have a Facebook feed of nothing but comedians to try to, you know, because he was talking about brightening the mood and stuff. So I commented on the thread. I said, the worst is when even they try to be serious. Because so many comics were trying to grandstand, and it's like, listen, your whole act is nothing but comic book references and jokes about, you know, your wife's pussy. Like, what are you? Why are we going to value your political and socioeconomic opinions right now? You know, just be who you are. Just, you know, you can have the opinions, you don't have to espouse them. And so Ed Kaz wrote back to me, goes, that is the worst, KP. Hey, were you just being serious? You know, cleverly. And this guy, I won't say his name, but he writes in, well, the worst is reading Asbury Park Press interviews with comedians, in quote, who are not funny.
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't know a joke if you gave it to him on a platter, as you often do, Kaz. He needs a drunken audience to get any laughs.
Was that the person who filled out the comment card?
I wish, man. If I could have it just be one person that completely reviles me, I'd feel so much better.
That'd be great if, like, everyone loved you and that one guy kept following you. And, no, not funny. Stop it, people.
No. Apparently, that article, the incendiary things I put it. Yeah. Oh, holy shit. Maybe he's performed at the Bay Street Theater as one of the ladies in question. And that's why. I'm also a weatherman. You offended me twice in that article.
So like nowadays, like what's comedy giving you? What are you getting out of comedy?
Well, it's cool. I think the greatest thing, and I know you've experienced it with a couple other headliners up here, and I know you guys. I see everybody posting stuff on Facebook, so I know the three of us tend to keep our calendars pretty full, which is a great feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think the best thing with comedy is when you have headliners vouching for you without you having to ask for it. Like,
I agree.
When you can have somebody be like, "Hey, so and so is ready, by the way," or "Hey, I told this booker about you." I mean, that's the greatest feeling on the planet.
Mm.
So you can have that great feeling when you walk off stage and you've had a great set somewhere, and then to get the email the next day, "Hey, so and so told me about you. Are you free on this date?" And you're like, "Holy shit!" Like, I turned down gigs this year because I was double booked.
That's awesome.
It's the first time it's ever happened, probably the last, based off of recent feedback. But yeah, that part of it's really exciting.
You've been gaining some momentum lately. You got in recently with James and stuff like that. So you've been doing some opening spots and things like that. But I've been seeing you've been working pretty regularly at this point.
I got a water bottle thrown at my head on stage for one of those gigs.
Really?
The other week, yeah.
For what?
It was it was dumb of me. I did an anti-Italian joke at a Unico in Fairfield, which is an Italian American Honor Society, and they were hammered when we walked in. It was like a playful way that he did it. Like, he didn't want to cause physical harm to me, But he threw like a, it was like maybe a quarter full water bottle. He just throws it at me. It hits me right in the chest. And then some other guy started hitting me with the caps because I did an anti-Italian joke. It was dumb of me because there's an Italian flag on stage behind me. I look like how I look, which is like Bruce Willis letting himself go. And and I had an Ireland track jacket on, so I was asking for it.
Yeah. Did you have fun with that though, or do you, or that kind of set it off, like that turned it the other way?
Well, the whole room was also booing me at this point.
Oh, and, good, good.
And
keep it down, you freaking Greeks.
Well, I was telling a buddy of mine. He goes, you know what you do? You do the Christopher Walken, Dennis Hopper scene from True Romance. That's how you settle that crowd down. But it was weird because you had to sit there and I had to smile through it. Yeah. And I just kind of had to relax. I let them boo. They had their fun. And
but you learn.
I mean, it was definitely. I get in trouble with that. Do you guys mess around with the audience too much sometimes? Where you like to see how far you can take something?
I haven't got that comfortable yet. Brutally honest. I mean, I'm still working on the repartee with the audience. I've done a couple hosting gigs, but
did you say repartee?
Yes.
You mean repertoire?
Well, that's another way of saying it.
Repartee?
Yes.
What are you, some kind of faggy French guy? Like, well, it's my repartee.
Hey, I'm trying to move on with my career, and you know, doing French accents might do it for me. So.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm almost done with my statement. So. My repartee is done.
Well, do you see the comics that mess with the audience in a confrontational way, and it's like a pleasure to watch? Like Patrice was really big with that.
Yep.
If you can do it well enough, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. When you see the people who do it, it's like, oh shit. Yeah. It's kind of fun. I've seen a couple of those acts.
You know, I think just like local Seymour Swan's amazing at that. He'll just take the crowd and just work with them. Like Berla says this to me a couple of times. Like you could blindfold that guy and he'll just go out and kill. Like it doesn't matter what order, you could put him in front of the Klan and he'll kill.
He was there. He was there the night of the night that the Jacksonville Comedy Festival became a 12-year running endeavor. He was there. But he went up early in the show, and you know when you see somebody like, oh, he doesn't have jokes.
Yep.
I was like, no, this guy has jokes. He just hasn't needed to use them yet. Does that make any sense?
Dude, he just always looks so comfortable to me, like on stage. Like he always just looks like, like I can make this work.
Oh yeah, he messes with the crowd. He did something. I think he talked. He riffed on my dad, not knowing it was my dad. I hadn't even met Seymour yet, and he's on stage riffing on what kind of porn my dad watches.
Ooh.
So I was like, oh, well, I'm opening with that. I was like, all right, well, now I know what kind of porn my dad watches.
Yes.
But Seymour just, he's one of the guys I'm always impressed with. Probably.
I love Seymour.
You know? It's amazing. It's just Seymour. Like he gets on stage, he looks to the left, he looks to the right. All right, I got this.
I like when Big Rich.
It was almost like
when
you're.
No, I wasn't going for that. As I was saying, I was even like, wait a minute. Seymour Swan drives a bus? What?
Yeah.
I like when Rich McDonald and Joe Carney, they have their improv group. So when the two of them.
They were on
around,
the podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, both of them.
Did they share the microphone? Like they were they like close? Like
no, they actually each had their.
No, they shared a microphone
well, they,
that night.
They shared when Watson was on. Oh, yeah, they did share the.
Yeah, it was one microphone.
They did share one microphone.
Wait, was this Oak Barrel?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, shit, I was on that show.
Yeah, I was on that show, too. That was a tough show.
Another weird night.
That night.
I went the following month. It was tough for me as well.
Yep. But anyway, switching gears, maybe a little bit of sports here. Well, first off, NFL is going wild right now. Some crazy moves. I'm a little depressed about Antro Roll being a Giants fan, that he's not coming back. I know, like, he probably wanted more years and more money, but, like, he was the voice of the defense, so I'm kind of, like, I have no clue. You said Beeson's probably going to pick that up, but that kind of bothered me. But the crazy move, the Eagles' moves are very strange. Like, some of them make sense, some of them don't. It's just, like, they're just, like, trading to trade, it feels like. Like a kid with like baseball cards, like you know.
Well, they gave Chip Kelly all that power. He's just like, fuck it, let's see what I do.
Yep.
You guys know when you were playing Madden as a kid and you couldn't get the cap room to sign a free agent outright, So you had to make a trade for a player and then drop him. Like, in no world are you ever going to drop LeSean McCoy, but that's pretty much what I felt like they did. Like, all right, we'll get rid of McCoy, and we'll bring this guy in. Frank Gore deciding not to go to Philly.
Yep.
Hysterical.
And he talked smacked about him, too. A lot of – even McCoy leaving. I mean, they all pretty much said the same thing. It's like, we don't feel comfortable going over there. I mean, it's kind of true. I mean, the guy makes them, like, wear sleep monitors. They got to do all these, like, power shakes.
And, yep.
You got to run like 50 miles an hour for the entire camp. That's why every time they'll come out and be 9-2, and then they'll end the season 10-6 because they're just too damn tired.
I do his workout before school every morning. You actually do. It's pretty amazing. That's how I look the way I do.
Shitty.
Yep. But I don't know. NFL's on the way. But the real thing, I'm not a big boxing fan, but I want to watch this fight. I want to watch. Pacquiao and Mayweather. Very intrigued by it. I think Mayweather is going to kill him, to be honest. Yeah. But the entire world is going to be watching. And this could be the last fight that like there's any interest like this. Literally the last one.
Well, I mean, there's
boxing's dead.
Yeah.
Mayweather is the only draw. Pacquiao is the only draw left. This should have happened 3 years ago. Yeah. But they're going to fight. To me, like Pacquiao, like, he's gotten soft. Like, I think he's more like doing the politician, like, I'm going to be the face of the Philippines kind of thing. Unlike you, who put your face in the Philippines while you were overseas. But,
among other things, also forced into the Philippines.
But I'm serious. I think this may be the last super fight we ever see. Ever.
It could be true. I mean, UFC is totally taking over the fight scene. I mean, it's not even close between boxing. I mean, The pay-per-view, they're saying there's rumors it's going to cost like $99 to get the pay-per-view for this. It should be a great fight. I agree. I think everybody's in the... I mean, when it was both Pacquiao and Mayweather undefeated, like, they could have sold that thing for $200 and people would have bought it and gone to bars. It would have been a whole
They said holiday. The fight is going to be $300 million. $300 million. And they said the seats are going to start about $1,500.
Don't you guys want to, like, plan a bank heist during that fight? That's the perfect time. Like,
Ocean's 15.
It's just, I don't know. Like, I think, like, I literally think this is the last, like, where the world's, you know, like, almost like those Tyson Holyfield fights when we were kids, like, where every, like, adult watched. That was what they were going to watch that night. This is going to be the last one. Who, put it this way, if those two weren't in it, can you name me three other boxers?
That haven't Butterbean, Layla Ali,
Butterbean. Yeah. I'm serious. I'm serious.
Well, what's interesting is that before this fight, both of those guys were able to make stars in boxing, if you will.
Yep.
By taking fights with like the Juan Manuel Marquez's of the world, the Miguel Cotto's of the world.
Yep.
I'm trying to think who else. Tim Bradley. Tim Bradley, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, he's the one.
I'm not a big bonk man. I'm just saying I'm intrigued by this.
Well, Tim Bradley decision.
Sean Bradley would be fun.
I'm going to fight this 7'6" Mormon. Take that, you freaking horrible Philadelphia 76er.
Well, someone pointed out that the weight of Floyd Mayweather right now and the weight of Manny Pacquiao at fighting weight is combined is still 10 pounds short of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Which I thought was interesting.
That had to be one of the wrestling crew.
Yeah, it was the WWE.
That had to be.
I was watching Raw that wrestling night when guys. He brought that up. It was Paul Heyman.
The Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But this is it, man. I'm telling you, this is it for at least 10 years.
Well,
at least.
I mean, their biggest thing is they need, kind of like other sports, they need a commissioner. They need somebody to go, all right, we're going to straighten the shit up, right? And that's the only way they're going to get back to it. I mean, I was kind of talking to you. You look at Major League Soccer. I mean, when they began, it's a joke. I mean, they're still nowhere close to epic. But they got a commissioner in there, and he's doing smart things. And he's getting clubs. He's getting some big names there. That's what you have to do. They need a commissioner to just sit back and go, all right, I'm sick of this, you know, bullshit where it's like, I'm not going to fight him, not going to fight him. We're going to have a commission, and we're going to tell you who you're going to fight.
Yeah. Well, like MLS is not they're, what they're finally settled on is that we're not going to be Epic. We're going to be the fifth or sixth, seventh sport in the country, and we're going to build that on that niche market. You know, like, and it's doing well.
But I was watching a game, the New York City FC in Orlando City, and they had the commissioner on there, and he pretty much said, within our goal is within 7 years to be an elite soccer league.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough, but they're at least, you know, they have the structure in there where they're like, all right, now we can start being serious. And that's the biggest problem with boxing. Like, you have three different federations. You never know who's the champion in any kind of weight. And like you said, it's mostly just Mayweather. I mean, if Pacquiao had a pay-per-view against Joe Schmo, I don't think people are watching. They'll watch
the Philippines fight. Will watch. Yep. And
have you guys ever watched a Pacquiao fight with Filipino people?
Yes, actually, one of my best friends is a Filipino girl, and we were over one night for a Pacquiao fight. Like, and she's actually married to one of my best friends, and we were over there one night. It was awesome. They were like, every punch he threw, they're like, oh,
when you get the old Filipino people to scream in Tagalog, I think is the language.
Yes, that's it.
They're screaming in Tagalog, and then there's just the best food ever with lumpia and all that other stuff.
Oh, God, it's the best.
And they're screaming so aggressively.
Spring rolls.
Oh, yeah, I mean, because there's so many the Filipino mafia is a real thing in the Navy, by the way. Mm-hmm. There's so many Filipino people in the military that they all watch each other's back and stuff. So you watched that fight, it was the same intensity level of when I used to watch the De La Hoya fights.
Care Bears?
No. De La Hoya fights with my Mexican buddies from the Navy. They were insane too. So you had those two things going on. And then the way that I think all white people sadly rallied around Ricky Hatton for a little while.
Or Rocky. The way white people still rally around a movie.
Yeah, that's it's what are you gonna do, Philly? What are you gonna do?
Well, it's funny. It's because I think of boxing. I'm like, there's Mayweather, there's Pacquiao, there's Klitschko. There's got to be at least three or four brothers somewhere around there. And I don't know anybody else. I don't know anyone else at this point anymore. But I think this is gonna be the end of boxing for 10 years, for a decade. A fight that's billed like this, no way.
I mean, other than this blip, you can debate boxing's been around. Gone for about 10, 15 years. I mean, honestly, since Tyson was no longer the heavyweight champion, boxing has not been boxing.
Ward Gatti. Ward Gatti, the one that had that trilogy, that was something to behold.
Even like the Lennox Lewis, what was it, Holyfield and Lewis?
Felix Trinidad.
And Trinidad. Yeah. Those were still big, but
they were decent, but I mean, it was still like,
when the world stops.
When the world stops, when the conversation is, oh my God, Tyson's fighting in 4 months. I can't wait. Now it's just like, it's almost like you turn on TV. Oh yeah, that boxing match is coming up.
Yeah.
Well, UFC's perfect, though, because they're highlighting the weight classes. It's one banner, so all championships are recognized through them. And it's pretty much, like I said, the one company, like you were saying, how you have to have a commissioner or something like that. So now, just because the fighter that you like the most isn't fighting doesn't mean you don't watch the other weight, because they're going to highlight other weight classes. And if they're highlighting the weight class of the fighter you like and he's not on the card, you're watching what you're doing your own scouting on what's the next guy going to be.
I mean, they do so much build up. They did great promotions with like Fox when they get that promotion. I mean, you got Joe Rogan, who's just balls to the walls, loves UFC, and he promotes it so well. And Dana White, he doesn't fuck around, for lack of a better term. Like, and he'll just tell it straight as it is. Like, I remember the whole, like, everybody's so excited about Kimbo Slice, and he's just like, shut the fuck up. This guy can't fight. And let me show you. I'm going to put him on a reality show with a bunch of amateur guys trying to get a contract, and they will whoop his ass. And that's what basically happened.
I heard Kimbo's moving into boxing, actually.
Well, there you go. That's how we're going to say boxing. We're going to bring back Kimbo Slice.
They're gonna, because it's a one dimensional thing. So,
yeah, I don't watch the UFC. I respect it a lot, and then, like, when I'm around people who like it, it's almost more fun for me. But it's like, it's awesome. It really is. But I do find some of the fights a little boring. Like, oh, yeah. To be honest, the grappling the
wrestling ones. Yeah.
I was a wrestler in high school, so I loved it.
Oh, Art, were you?
Mm-hmm. I didn't even have a team. I just wrestled guys.
Isn't that the worst thing, though? You. Do you guys like the hacky jokes that I feel like everybody's older sister, when you were like first getting into the UFC, everybody's older sister would walk in, looks like they're having sex with each other. Like that. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing they can say. It's like, no.
Let's go over.
Do you fuck in a headlock? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Let's go over the hackiest jokes. You don't? Like just being kind of like local comedians. The hackiest jokes I see right now are, I did it before. There's teachers getting arrested everywhere. Why wasn't it me? Mm-hmm. And what's sad, I showed Berlo my first notebook of comedy, and that was in there. And I'm like, God, cringeworthy. I've heard a bunch of GPS jokes. What else? What do you think of? Hack. Like a super hack.
Jacksonville had a lot of black comics.
Kind of like when it snows, the whole bread, milk, and eggs thing.
Yeah.
I know Bob DeBono did it pretty decently, but he had a different term. But everybody does the same thing. I was in line. 200 people. Bread, no, milk, and eggs. Why are you making French toast?
Vic turned that into like a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah. But most of them do the hack like French toast kind of joke, you know.
I have heard a lot of people with like the it's definitely because of Louis C.K., but the old I hate my kids. That's like the new thing. If you have kids, you hate them. Like, I've heard that all the time. Like, I hate my kids. They're such assholes. Like, okay. Yes, they're assholes. Why are they assholes? Well, they bother me. You're so stupid.
Are you talking hack premises or hack, like?
Just premises, I guess.
Because the hack thing's fascinating because you'll meet the people. And I know you guys have stories. I know you do. There's the guys who are doing the hack premises, like you were saying, everybody wants to talk about the obvious conclusion of teachers fooling around with their students. The obvious conclusion of, okay, your kids are assholes or whatever. And then, like, when I would be one of the only white comics in a black, like, room or an urban room, anything like that, there would always be the one kid who was half black, half white, whose opener was always, I'm half black, half white, so I got a big dick and good credit. And then, like, yeah, but that was what killed me, is that we're sitting there backstage, like, oh, it's like the hackest joke. Everybody does that. Like, right. If you're a mixed kid, like if you say, hey guys, I'm a mixed kid, I was like, oh, I guess what joke's coming? So, but the audience would die. And
it's funny because a lot of those things do still kill, but it's like, I can't get myself to go do them, you know? Like, no way.
It's one of those things, like, if you ever hear it.
What are
like,
you laughing at? My feet on the desk over here?
I like how he keeps the tone. Mm-hmm. You know, we had no clue that he snuck out to take a piss. The audience doesn't know that.
Nope.
They can't hear him grabbing more beers as he's going here.
Nope. I'm a professional. This is what I do.
He's got his feet up on the desk now, like we're just shooting the shit, back, a couple of buddies.
That's it, man. That's what this is all about.
It's literally, this is my fucking house. This is the V-Hess house.
Listen,
man.
This is how we roll
walking
here.
Walking around like he owns the place.
For a couple more months.
Not if Chase Bank has anything to say.
Shifting gears. I was thinking about this today. I was watching there was something on YouTube. It was like a UFC thing, like the worst UFC injury or worst martial arts fighting injuries.
Nice.
You know, like one of those clip videos is like 3 minutes long, just like elbows flying all over the place. And I was thinking about my own personal like worst injury. I was playing basketball in the street. No, I have the worst history ever with my teeth. So I dip, so that really makes it logical. But I broke my teeth like 30 times as a kid, like a million times. I remember one time I was playing with my cousin, this girl Kara, and I was pretending I was Michael Jordan jumping off the couch. And I jumped off the couch with my tongue out like Michael Jordan. And I landed right on the top of a chair with my mouth wide open, blew my tooth out of my mouth. Another time I was swimming around the pool, around the outside, underwater. I went to get up to get a breath of air, knocked my tooth right out of my mouth on the side of the pool. Another time, you guys remember crab soccer in gym class?
Yes.
It was like a big ball. You would go around on scooters and like kick the ball.
Oh, yeah.
So I go to kick the ball, and I knee myself in the face, knock my tooth out of my own mouth. Nice. But the worst one, I'm playing basketball in the street, because that's what we did in Woodbridge. We played in the street. There was a hoop on a telephone post. You know, they that's what you do. We're playing. We play basketball every day. You know, we would go out, ride our bikes, play some basketball, come back. I shoot a ball. I go for a rebound. I fall down. And my friend, who was a pretty hefty black kid at the time, trips over my feet and lands on the back of my head. And my teeth smash into the street. Now, I had braces at the time. So I get up, you know, just like a cold cock. But I have gravel all in my mouth. Literally like bits of gravel. And my one tooth's leaning one way. There's chunks everywhere. I'm like, I gotta go home. And I hop on the bike.
This podcast took a turn.
Yeah, well, it took a turn. It always does. It always does. So I go home, and my buddy Paul follows me home. And we were only up the block at the time. And I go, Mom, you know, I got tears in my eyes. And I think it was in eighth or ninth grade. I was like, you know, like where it wasn't cool to cry, but I was crying like a girl. So I really felt like an asshole. And I go, and she's like, oh my God, you know, like, and like my buddy Paul like vouches for me, like, oh my God, like you fell. Like, cause my mom, like her always first reaction was like to never believe me what happened. like, what were you doing? And like, I was playing basketball, innocent. And she takes me, she's like, okay, we got to go to the orthodontist, to the dentist. Now, I do a bit about that. You've heard it before. I hate my dentist. I hated my childhood dentist. He was like rough and violent. Like, I have an underbite.
How is this not in the set?
It is.
Okay, good. I haven't heard you do this one yet. Good.
It's work in progress, but he would like take my jaw and be like, you know, like when you got to take the pictures when you're a kid, like the radiology kind of things.
Yeah.
He'd be like, you got to move your jaw back. And he would like push on my jaw, and I'd have tears running down my eyes. And then like we'd leave and go in the treasure chest, pick out a toy, you know. So I go there, and he's like, oh, everything will be fine. So meanwhile, my teeth are hanging from the braces. They're okay. You know, he you know, does the with the suck and gets all the gravel out of my teeth. He's like, they're fine. They'll come back down and set right back into place. Now, even as an seventh grade kid, I knew that didn't sound right. Like, your teeth don't just, they're like a muscle. Like, you don't sprain a tooth, you know?
It's like when you pop your ears, you know? Just, right. You're going to yawn one day and your teeth are going to fall down.
Mm-hmm.
Was he wearing golf shoes while he was telling you? He's like, yeah, they'll be fine. Don't worry about it, kid.
So I'm like, well, this don't sound right. So we go. So she's like, all right, let's go see the orthodontist. So we go to the orthodontist, which is right down the road. And he's looking at it. And I actually liked my orthodontist. Not in that way, but I liked him. And he's like, okay. So he cuts the wire on my braces, and my tooth comes rolling out of my mouth, and blood just goes like rushing. And I'll never forget. I was like on the chair looking up, and the nurses were like, you know, like the ones who help them, like turning away in like disgusting. Like, yeah.
You didn't see this in dentist school.
So like I had one tooth fall out of my mouth. The other three were just like hanging there. And he's like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. You have to go to the oral surgeon today. And the oral surgeon, it just so happens he's across the street from the orthodontist.
Nice.
So we have to walk across Route 35.
You're in the dentist district?
Yeah, shit gets crazy in the dentist district. They take me in, and I'll never forget. That was the most painful thing in my life. They took like the raw spot where like the tooth was, and were just jamming needles into it to numb it all up. My mom says she remembers hearing me be like, ah! Like screaming. She was like crying in the waiting room and stuff like that. They basically put like, it almost looked like braces, but on my gums. I had to like wire in my teeth back and like let them settle back in. And that was my worst injury.
Nice.
How about you guys? I mean, that was traumatic for me. And till this day, I hate dentists. But I always did. None of you ever got hurt?
I was waiting to see if you had a story.
Shoot, man, because if we're going down the path we're going down, it's going to get grosser and grosser.
That's perfect.
All right. I'll start off by saying I had kind of a similar Michael Jordan thing, not the same And Jay. So
I was Michael Jordan. No. Yeah. I was killing it on the basketball court.
It was 92. The Dream Team just did their first Olympic victory. Mm. And me and my friend go into our driveway, and we're just like, yeah, we're the Dream Team, man. Yeah, we're going to beat up on Angola, because that's who they just beat. They literally beat like 122 to 50. So we're just, you know, hot dogging it, because, you know, that's what two white kids do. They're just Michael Jordan and Patrick Ewing and
Scottie Pippen. Picturing Berlew now, him being the Dream Team, yeah, makes me like so happy.
I'm Christian Laettner.
Yeah.
I kind of picture you as like one of the bad guys from Space Jam.
Damn it. That's a fist bump. I am stewing all of your abilities.
But, so go ahead. Yeah,
so we're just, we keep on like driving to the damn basket, and Jordan, Pippen, Jordan, and I go for a layup, and my knee hits the pole, and it hurt, and it hits the perfect spot where a bolt is sticking out.
Oh, yes, yes.
So it just rams into it. I fall down. I look at my knee. I can see my knee has a mouth right now.
Oh, yes.
So I'm freaking out, and like my mom comes out, and she's looking, and she's like,
she's like, Jordan, what happened?
I need Bill Cartwright to get in here. She's looking at it.
Horace Grant, help me.
She's like, oh, it's not that bad. It's not my bad. And my buddy looks down, and he's like, I think I could see bone.
What was Phil Jackson's response to this?
He was very pissed off with me. I didn't follow the triangle. I should have shot it out to Rodman. But I had it was 40 stitches, 20 internal, 10 internal.
How deep was the gash?
Was that?
How deep was the gash?
My friend
wasn't
joking. You
probably said that a lot in your life.
Yeah, my friend wasn't joking. It was to the bone.
Oh, man.
Nice.
But that wasn't my worst. The worst was I was racing a friend on a bike, and we're like, all right, we'll go back to my house. And he was fit. I was less than fit, and he had a lead on me. So I said to myself, all right, I'm going to try to cut through my neighbor's lawn for the victory. Now, prior to my attempt, little did I know, he dug up his yard for a garden. The garden was a perfect bicycle tire length. Mm-hmm. So the back tire hit that hole. The bike kind of stayed there. I did not. I flipped over. I knocked myself unconscious. I wake up. I mean, I have neighbors staring at me. I'm like, all right, I'm okay. I look at my hand. I notice my pinky is touching my ring finger right here. And I'm just panicking. And I just remember kept on saying, do you think it's broken? spoiler, it was.
Yes.
And I just remember I went to the hospital. And the doctor pretty much told my dad, it's like, all right, we're going to have to pull the finger to get it into space.
Did you fart when it happened?
No, that would be. No. I just got that.
Doc.
So the doctor comes up to me and he's like, "All right, we could just do it, or we're going to give you two shots of Novocaine and." It'll be a small little prick. You won't feel a thing. And I'm talking to my dad. I'm like, yeah, we'll do the shots. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, so I don't feel. I mean, it's just a small prick. Just a small prick. And I just remember they stuck one in. And you think I have a loud voice now? You should have heard me screaming when they put that needle in me. And I was flipping out. There were people in other states wondering what the hell was going on. And it got to the point where my dad just had to put his hand over my mouth. They had to get six doctors over. He's just like, do it.
I've seen this movie before.
Taken 4. Take his virginity. But, that was fun. And I also had teeth problems for that. Basically, my front tooth was completely dead. It was barely hanging on, and we had to put a cap on it.
Mm. I got a lot of things. I got hit by it. I was playing catcher as a kid. When my brother was the hitter and his friend was the pitcher, and that was, wait, this sounds really gay, but I was way too close, and the kid had
this might sound gay, you guys. So we're fucking the shit out of each other.
So we hold him down. He's like, "Do it."
Aluminum bat. I was way too close as the catcher. He took his full swing. Wrap around hit me right in the head. Knocked unconscious. Ooh. I had two concussions, possibly three, when I was in London. But before we get to KP, I was we had you know, like a typical kid party. We were, I was probably like fourth grade, third grade, maybe even younger. Everyone was like, "Oh, let's go outside for pinata, pinata," you know. And we rushed, like it was where you had to go downstairs to get outside. And it was cement steps. So we run downstairs. I get tripped by some kid. Ba-doom, ba-doom, hit my head on the bottom slab of concrete. I wake up in the emergency room. And they kept me for 3 days in the hospital. And I'll never forget, like, puking and, like, all this stuff. Like, a massive concussion. It explains a lot. It explains a whole lot. But... And then I had another one. I was going to. It sounds so gay,
how
too.
How are you alive?
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm not.
There's supposed to be seven different people's stories. Yeah.
And when, then, when we get to The Walking Dead, he's the source story.
Yeah. I was going to. It sounds so gay again. I was going to Boy Scout camp. And I had to
on
get
the man's dick.
I had to get a physical, and I was also due for like updates on shots. So they gave me like three shots. Then they had to take blood and this. And my family has this weird thing where, like, there's like four or five members of my family have the same thing. We get these shots, we're fine, and then we go to get up, and like the tunnel closes, and we like pass out and fall down. So I was on the doctor's table, like, you know, sitting on the paper on top of the table, and I'm like, I'm fine. All of a sudden, the shades start drawing in. I roll off the doctor's table, hit my head on the floor. I wake up, and nurses are fanning me. And I'm like, "Where's my dad?" They're like, "Well, he fainted when he saw you hit the floor. He was in the other room." Yes, yes, yes. It explains a lot of what goes on up here. What about you, buddy?
I don't have any overly graphic ones. I was pretty lucky that way. I had I remember I remember riding my bike home. I had one of those cool mountain bikes. It was like, you know, it was my prized possession.
26 speeds.
You know, yeah. So I'm riding it home.
Baseball card in the spokes.
If only, if only. So I'm whipping it. Like my buddy lived three houses down, so I was ripping it back from his house to get ready to go get a. Some family dinner party for my aunt, like at some formal restaurant or something. And I turned on the bike on a pile of leaves. And so I fell, the bike slipped out from under me and it overturned and I fell and I landed on the handlebar. So the one end of the handlebar hits the ground and then punches me square in the dick.
Wow.
So I had two bruised testicles and Jesus. I had a, I had a cut that had to have a butterfly stitch put in it right above my dick, and I had a hematoma or a blood pocket that filmed right above, formed right above my my junk. Now, it's embarrassing because you know, I'm sitting there like screaming, holding my shit, and like there's a little bit of blood, not a lot of blood, but like when you're holding that area, and my dad's the one who runs up and finds me, and I'm in fifth grade at the time. And my dad runs up and finally sees me move my hand away, and there's a little bit of blood on my hand. My dad's like, "Oh, fuck." Yeah. So
that's an injury all men can agree with. No, man.
Yeah, they took me to the emergency room. And in fifth grade, you're not quite an adult patient yet. So I had to go to the my pediatrician's emergency room. That was the closest. So I'm literally on a fire truck. That was the. I'm on a fire truck.
Wait. What?
I'm on a. That was his operating desk. The table was a fire truck. So I'm laid out on a fire truck on the paper.
Nurse,
like yourself.
Careful. Other nurse. Woo, 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 woo.
I've seen this movie too.
So the worst part of it. The worst part of it is that in fifth grade. Okay, so I'm on a fire truck. That's pretty bad. I'm sitting there with a giant ice pack on my junk. They've taken my pants off, everything like that. I'm literally just there, like, giant bruise, giant red mark. My junk's out on the operating room table. And they leave me there with an ice pack, and my pants are off completely. And then the nurse walks and goes, "Oh, you poor thing." And I was like, "That's the nurse I had a crush on now that I discovered what being a man's about." So I...
This has to go in a bit, too, man.
Someday, man. When I'm comfortable enough telling it.
When well, you defend your title at the Jacksonville Comedy Festival.
We drank a little beforehand, so... So then when she walks out, she goes, "Oh, you poor thing." And I was like, "Oh, that's horrible." So she walks out and doesn't close the door. And patients, not just staff at this point, patients that are being seen in other rooms are walking by me and just getting a load of my bloody junk.
Wow.
And then after that, I had the worst is having to explain it, too, because then we went to the fancy dinner party and I had –
Fancy dinner party.
A dress shirt, a blue sports coat tucked into like black Nike sweatpants. Right?
So, Bravo.
And then in fifth grade, the other love of my life was my fifth grade teacher, Miss Fano, the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. And she,
why were these teachers when I was young?
Oh, he's
dude, crazy. You should use that.
Callbacks. So she's the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen in my life. And I have to explain to her, I have to hand her the note. "Hey, I can't be line leader this week."
His swollen balls will hold the line up.
"Why, Kevin, you're so good at it." "Well, I have a giant blood pocket that formed above my testicles. One of them's bruised. There's a chance I can't have kids."
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. How do we top that?
Well, I mean, that was the major one. On, if you could look at my mongoloid list, it was the one that was underlined.
Your list just says comedy and then tragedy.
Well,
with Florida mixed in.
Let me read my list. It says show. Then it says 27/28, which I'll get to. Then it says worst injury, teeth and food. Food poisoning. I forgot. Food poisoning. I got a couple years ago. My first year of teaching, I was doing. I just finished student teaching. They hired me to do a maternity leave after that, and I'm, you know. All of a sudden, I got the worst bubble guts ever. And I couldn't hold it. I left my class, would go shit. Left my class, would go shit. Like, literally, with no supervision, which is, like, big time no-no. You know, like, and I was dying. I'm dying here. I'm going crazy. So, finally, like, lunch comes, and I go to the principal. I'm like, I have to go. And I'm so nervous, because I want to get a job there, you know. Like, yeah. I want to make an impression. I'm like, I got to go. Like, oh, no problem. Whole night, I spend the night curled in a ball at my parents' bathroom, like this. Cause, and right now, I have, like, my arms wrapped around my knees because this was the only thing that felt okay. Like, if I got up.
So the cannonball position, yeah, folks.
The cannonball. If I got up, instant pain. If I laid down, terrible pain. And I swear to God, I went to the bathroom about. No, I'm trying to, like, not lie. It had to be 30 to 40 times in a night. It was every 2 minutes, like, on the dot, like, every 2 minutes, and I would just go. And after a while, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So it was just blood and feces, shrapnel. And finally, like, I can't go into work the next day. And I'm like, "Dad, I think we got to go to the hospital. I'm on the floor." And I go to the hospital, and... You know, I get there, and the doctor, they put me on a morphine drip. Now, I never did, like, drugs at all.
I like to do my pooping.
No, I never did drugs at all in my life. But they're like, "We're going to put you on a morphine." I had the IV in because they're trying to rehydrate me from shitting for 24 hours. And they're like, "We're going to put you on a morphine drip." I said, "Okay." The split second they put it into the IV, I felt like I had an out-of-body experience. I was like, wow, like completely warm, numb, floating. And like, I completely understand why drug addicts like go for that. Cause it's like, meanwhile, I'm sitting there with like an intestinal disaster going on. And I'm like, this is great. Like just hovering above my body. But then doctor comes in. He's like, well, you know, sir, what's your feeling? Do you feel pain here pressing on my stomach? He's like, all right. And he's like, turn over. And then he had to go right on my ass, man. Check everything. Fucking check my prostate, everything. It was pretty horrifying. But that was like a 3-day thing. I lost like 13 pounds or something like that.
Jesus.
He said it was either, they said at that point, they couldn't tell if it was food poisoning or a like upper intestinal. They said it's the same exact symptoms. So that sucked. But anyway, we're an hour 10 in, so we're going to get to the end here. KP, you got anything to promote? Now, keep in mind, this is coming on, and this will probably be a week and a half from now.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't have anything too crazy. I'm going to be on Gordon Baker Bone and Friends over at the Pompton Plains Regency House Hotel or whatever it is, Courtyard Marriott things, Buzzwords. No, that's actually going to be a lot of fun. There's a good lineup at that show, so hopefully we get a lot of local people to come out for that one.
And I forgot to ask you before, but if you could, like, I know this is like a stupid question, it's like a hack question, but like if you could describe your comedy to people, like what would you expect? Like, I guess I could hear your personality a little bit through this, but
if you go to a any bar that contractors hang out at,
okay,
I think that's where I fit in the best.
But anyway, go see KP. He's fucking hilarious. He really is. I've worked with him a couple times. I worked with him a couple times when I was really bad. Now I'm only like somewhat bad. Yeah. So, but
he went from like an F plus to a D minus. Yeah, right.
But he really is funny.
You're technically passing.
Is there anywhere? Do you have like a website or anything? Or?
I mean, I'm really trying with Twitter. It's such a battle.
Yeah. So tell us where to follow. Put it on.
Twitter handle is KP Burke sucks. Mm-hmm. One word. And
stole mine.
That's a we stole that guy from Florida's, man. But yeah, KP Burke sucks. Same thing for Instagram. I try to. It's mostly dog photos. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
Okay. Well. And, apparently that's who we hang out with because Fernandez. Joe, me. That's the only thing I like to take pictures of.
The comics all like their dogs because it's the greatest audience they've ever had.
Yeah. I kill every night. Yeah.
Have a dog, so that's why they don't allow me to hang with them.
At KP Burke Sucks?
Yeah, at KP Burke Sucks for Twitter, KP Burke Sucks on Instagram. And then I think it's most fun to be friends with me on Facebook. That's the one I understand how to use.
That's what he thinks. No, but you are in the same exact boat as me. I brought on Michael Berlow just to be like a co-host, but I'm like, dude, I'm starting a Twitter. I don't know how to use this thing. I don't know how to use this thing at all. I'm like hashtag Scott. Like,
I'm Scott too. Wow,
number Scott. No.
All right, but definitely check out KP Burke, Michael Berlow. Anything to promote?
Nothing. Really, I know I'll be hanging with Watson now, Stapa. We have no idea where we're going on that, but I will say April 19th at Scotty's Comedy Cove, I will be doing the Watson sketch show, as well as later on that night, I will be either performing or assisting my friend at Table 42 in Dover, New Jersey. Nice. Again, a great lineup with Joe Fernandez, Andy Hayward, Bobby Gaines, Scott Brennan hosting.
Yep. Excellent. And then for me, it's the 27th and 28th of March. I'll be at Scotty's. I'll be hosting for Johnny Watson both nights. Chip Ambrosia and then Chips Cooney are on opposite nights. I forget which one is which, but that's going to be an awesome. It's going to be fun. And then I'm at Tierney's on the 29th. But April 19th is the show. I need your support. Please follow us at Twitter at VS Comedy because they wouldn't allow me to have at Verbal Shenanigans, which is ridiculous. on Facebook, on Stitcher, on iTunes, all that other great stuff. We also started a mailing list, so if you want to send me your email at verbalshenaniganspodcast@gmail.com.
If you sign up now, we'll send a picture of the testicles that were picked up for KP.
We will send you KP's testicle picture. And he'll sign it. but anyway, this has been a great time. KP, thanks for hanging out. Feel free to come on anytime. We're always looking for like a third voice, you know, like someone who's
sweet,
kind of funny, you know, or whatever. But anyway, keep doing that. You're back. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it.